the state of the family. That's what we're talking about. And also, if you're here for the first time, we talk back and forth a little bit like that. I'll have you say some scripture with me occasionally. Why? So you might learn something today. Amen? You can leave here saying, wow, yeah, I got something. Got some scripture. That's what we want. So we need your participation. The state of the family. Let's keep looking. The average lifespan, pull me down a little more, Kev. The average lifespan of all the world's great civilizations, say it with me, is about what? 200 years. Is America older than 200 years? Yes. Now, this is history. This isn't Clark stuff. This is historical data. This is from sociologists and people that know what they're talking about. So that's the average lifespan of a great civilization. And I certainly would call us a great civilization. Wouldn't you? The greatest country, I think, of all time, the United States of America. Let's thank God for America. Amen. Come on. Praise the Lord. Amen. These nations progress through the following sequence. It doesn't matter if it's the Greeks, the Romans, the Persians. You can go back and check it out. Here's how things progress. Pop it up. Starts with bondage. Okay? Did when folks came from England to America, was everything hunky-dory and everything just worked out all of a sudden great, or was there some bondage involved? Oh, there was bondage, all right. So you can follow this chart around. Bondage then leads to spiritual faith. Keep going. We're just clockwise. Then to great courage. Then to guess what? Somebody tell me. Liberty! Awesome! But you don't get from bondage to liberty overnight, do you? No. Then to abundance. Would you say that's where America went? Say, you're following the chart? Uh-oh. Has this been an abundant nation, yes or no? Now, this is historical data on civilizations and how they fall. How they go and how they fall. Then to complacency. And then to, what's that word? Apathy. And then to, say that with me, dependence. Everybody's crying today. Government, do this. Government, do this for us. Let's do $700 billion here. Let's catch another $100 billion here. We can't let the biggest insurance company in the world go to pot. We got to put in money that we don't have to rescue something. Big debate right now in Washington. Rescue GM, rescue Ford. And the debate is, if you do that, is it going to work? Oh, we rescued them, so now people aren't going to buy a Toyota anymore. I don't think so. They're going to buy what they can put gas in. They're going to buy what's dependable. People are going to make choice. What I'm saying is, we're telling the government to do everything for us in America now. Health care. Regardless. And a lot of you voted for that. I'm going to vote for this person because he's going to give me that. You are smoking something. Okay? Okay, I'm done. I thank God I got the Bible. Boy, it sure helps me when I have to make tough decisions. You know what I'm saying? But if you're voting and you're thinking like that, listen, that don't sound too good. What does dependence lead to? Somebody take a big guess. Bondage. Again. Okay? I'm just telling you, this is historical, sociological data. This is how the cookie crumbles. This is how it goes. So you might wonder, where is America on that circle? I'll leave that up to you. Okay? Let's keep looking. What we got, Raj? One of the major contributing factors of it for a great civilization's demise, say it with me, is the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the... One of the major things. If you see the family in America under attack, if you ever see that, if you ever like it happens in your lifetime or something, and you see the traditional family under attack, you need to know that's one of the greatest demises of our civilization. It's when the family comes under attack. Did you get that? Yes or no? And this is just from historical data. So if it's not happening, then you can say, hey, then we're fine. If it is happening, could be trouble ahead. Here's what the Bible says. I just want to read this to you. We'll be looking at two passages of Scripture this morning. If you want to take your Bible, you got Romans chapter 1. Then you have 2 Timothy chapter 3. You can find both, and we're going to just work in between those two. Here's what God's Word says. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, say it with me, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Go check out the ocean today. See if you can do that. See if you can hang those stars up there in the sky and they don't hit your house. See if you can make it drop 20 degrees in Inglewood overnight. Amen. I'd love for you to do that. We'd pay you to do that at our house, okay? Here we go. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Excuse. A man or a woman, a boy or a girl, ought to be able to go out and look at that ocean, look at those trees, look at the human body, look at the stars, and know, wow, mama, yo, yo, yo. Wow, mama, yo, yo, yo. Amen? That's what that song means. Listen, this is what God's Word says. But because that when they knew God, mama, yo, 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 they glorified him not as God. Me, 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 me. Not mama, yo, yo, yo. Neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations. Let's figure up a plan how all this stuff got here where God ain't involved. Do we have a plan like that working in our school systems today? Yes or no? Sure it is. It's called evolution. You came from nothing. You're slop, you're slime, you're nothing. That's where you came from. Okay? Bang! There you are! God will let you look like an absolute idiot. Professing themselves to be wise. This is science. They became what? Fools. This is what the Bible says. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Start worshiping idols. God will let that happen. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. That's just scripture. Not going to preach it. Pretty interesting stuff, though. There's a man who wrote a book, can you say 60 years ago? 60 years ago. And I need you to help me now. I know this. I don't want you to go sleep on me. Please don't do that. Here we go. 60 years ago, this man wrote a book. Pop it up. The book was called Family and Civilization. I'm not giving credence that you should go follow this guy or anything like that. He's a sociologist. He studies history. He studies civilizations. That's what he did. His name was Dr. Carl Zimmerman. He identified 10 symptoms of final decay that were observable in the fall of both the Greek and Roman civilizations. So he came up with 10 things that caused both the powerful Greek and Roman civilization to decline. Wow. Wonder how that would work today if we looked at his 10 things he came up with. When did he do it? He did it in 1947, 60 years ago. Now remember, this is a look back in history. It was written in 1947, over how many years ago? Was the family under the assault that it is today 60 years ago? Yes or no? Was morality, immorality rampant 60 years ago like it is today? Yes or no? What I'm saying is, he didn't write this as necessarily a look at 1947 and what was going on then. He was looking back at other civilizations. Okay, things that we could look at and see what our future might look like. Okay? So let's look at it. He had 11 things. I put them down to 10 because 11 is too many. 10 is too many. But two of them sounded alike. So let's look at it, the state of the family. And I'm just going to talk to you this morning. It's a little bit different kind of message, and I hope you'll listen. Okay? You might learn something because I learned something as I studied these things. I had to dig, and I had to find out answers, and that's what I did this week. Number one, he says this. In 1947, say that with me. Number one, no fault divorce. Now, these aren't necessarily in an order of how it'll happen. Okay, but these are 10 symptoms of a civilization in decline. We're also, when we do this message, you're going to see 2 Timothy verses popping up because Paul writes on the inspiration of God what it will be like in the end times. And I want you to see if any of these things sound like what's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. You got it? Say? Here we go. Number one, no-fault divorce. Now, we are a no-fault divorce state, and many of the states in the nation are no-fault divorce states. What does that mean? This is a symptom of a declining civilization. This is a divorce in which the dissolution of marriage requires neither party a showing of wrongdoing, nor any evidentiary proceedings at all. What does that mean? That means if my wife wanted to, she could get up in the morning, go down to the courthouse, and file for a divorce, and there would be nothing I could do about it, and that's the end of the story. You understand? Yes or no? I just don't think that's the way God intended marriage to be. I think we ought to fight for marriage. If Joy left me every time she felt like it, she sure wouldn't be sitting here today. Isn't that the truth in most of our marriages? Say, I mean, I know some of you got this Lily marriage. We struggled early on. And she still lives with me, which means it's a struggle, okay? Family court can grant a divorce to a petition by either party of the marriage without requiring the petitioner to provide evidence that the respondent has committed a breach of the marital contract. You don't have to say squat. No questions asked. Boom. A civilization is in decline when this becomes the law of the land. It ought to wake us up. In 80% of no-fault divorces, one party objects. Not a want a divorce. Tough, you're getting a divorce. It's the way it is. That's rough, ain't it? Say. Now, they point out some good things about no-fault divorce, and I looked at them. They're puny. They are very puny. Keep looking. Since no one is at fault, the courts then have been placed in a greater role of making decisions without objective evidence. A lot of times there's kids involved and things like that, but if you can't bring up a lot of evidence, a lot of times the court then takes a greater role and the family then becomes more dependent on the who? The court. According to a family court judge named Randall Heckman, here's what he said. Here's what Randall said. It's easier to divorce my wife of 26 years than to fire somebody I hired a week ago. The person I hire has more legal clout than my wife of 26 years, and that is wrong. So what he said, praise the Lord, the man was right. You know? I'm not saying this isn't hurtful. Anytime we talk about divorce, it's hurtful. But friend, I can't just act like these things don't happen. Our world's just all great. And I'm trying to tell you, could this be a sign of what we're seeing today of the end times or end game? It might be something you don't think about. When this happens, according to sociologist Zimmerman, based on a track record of historical evidence, when this starts to happen, and when this happens, civilization is in what? Decline. Keep looking. We're moving. Number two, sort of like the first one, meaningless marriage rights. The sociologist points out when marriage rights or vows become meaningless, your civilization's in decline. Keep looking. The Bible calls it covenant breakers. Here's what the Bible said in the last days. Without natural affection, say that word with me. Truce breakers. Covenant breakers. When marriage becomes something that we can just say, hey, I don't want to be married any longer. I'm not going to be married to you any longer. When we can break that covenant, it's a sign that our civilization is in decline. Y'all understand that? You might not like it, but that's the truth. The idea that marriage is a covenant bigger than any two people making it has been lost. The idea that when we make a covenant, husband-wife makes a covenant, that this is a very big deal and it's bigger than just us, it includes God, that idea has been lost today in our society. And when that happens, a civilization is in decline. Keep looking. From this day forward, I'm an old-fashioned preacher. This is the vows I use. For better or worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part, is meaningless. When that becomes meaningless in a larger part of our society, then our civilization's in decline. Is this sort of a, not so feel-good message so far, isn't it, say? I could get up here, and by the way, that's how you grow churches today, if I can get you in here and make you feel good. But this is the truth. Jesus is going to come not when you're feeling good. He's going to come when these things in 2 Timothy chapter 3 are happening. I personally believe they're happening right now. So I want to live today as if he's coming back today. The state of the family, number three. Say that with me. Birth, dearth. I didn't make that up, but I sort of like that little word. Birth, dearth. What does that mean? Here's what it means. This is according to sociologists. Keep listening. This is a term used to describe falling fertility rates. That means people, when a civilization, a nation starts having less and less children, good chance that civilization is in decline. Keep looking. 2 Timothy 3:3 says this, without natural affection. Parents won't want to have children. Parents who do have children will abort that child, won't even think twice about it. Parents that have children, you know, don't really care about children. Some parents don't want to have children. When a society does that, a civilization, that civilization is in decline. Romans 1:31 also says without natural affection. Keep looking. Now here's a stat. Women must have two children for society to replace itself. In America, on average, women need to have two children for society to replace itself. Y'all got that math? Say. Well, let's see how the world's doing, especially countries that have been great in the past. Pop it up. Greece, 1.3 children. Germany, 1.4 children. Italy, 1.3 children. Japan, 1.4 children. Putin and Russia, Spain, 1.3 children. And even Russia, there it is, 1.3 children. Putin put out some big deal a couple of 3 years ago. Y'all people need to start having children. They're going to give them all kinds of stuff to have children. Why? It's a mark of a civilization in decline. Look at America. We're barely hanging on, ain't we? 2.1. Birth dearth. Okay? Especially among democratic nations where there's freedom and the gospel's going out. It's declining. When civilizations decline, there's increased disrespect for parenthood. Did you hear me? There's disrespect for parenthood. That's what happens when a nation or civilization's in decline. People say stuff like this, having kids ain't such a good thing anymore. I mean, we'll get married and we'll get hooked up, but I don't want none of them children. Mm-mm. How about abortion on demand? That's the law of the land. Matter of fact, there are a lot of people that voted, and the reason they voted for Barack Obama and the Democratic Party, excuse me, was because of freedom of choice, freedom to go be able to have an abortion. And that's the truth, whether you like it or not. If you're against abortion today, you're becoming more in the minority. You're taking a woman's right away for her to kill her baby. That's tough talk. I'm just saying, when all this stuff happens, the civilization is not going up. We're getting better and better. No, you're getting worse and worse. Does that make sense to anybody in the building? I probably run half of you off today. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. This is right. This is good. No, it's wrong and it's stupid. That's what God says. Okay? This ain't a political party message. But this is just what it's about. I want my freedom. I don't want that thing growing inside of me, some woman might say. I want my what? Say it with me. Do you think people in America have abortions today because they don't want to have that baby and they want their freedom? Yes or no? Of course. Of course. We don't want to talk about it. It's an ugly subject. But I'm glad we support a ministry here that helps young women. And I'm glad this past week a young woman came in. And I wasn't planning on saying this, but I'm glad that you were there to counsel that young woman that came into that abortion, what she thought abortion clinic. But she came in and you were able to tell her that there's another choice to have that baby, and she was able also to lead this young woman to Jesus Christ, to her faith in the Lord. Amen? Let's praise the Lord. That's good. Praise the Lord. I don't want to bring kids into this world. A lot of people, even Christian, good-meaning people, we look at our world around us and we say, I don't want to have kids right now. Man, look, am I going to bring my kids in here to inherit all this mess? What I'm saying is, I'm not saying that's not a thought you might not have. I'm just saying that is, according to the data, that is a mark of a civilization in what? Decline. Okay? Tough talk today. It was tough on me in the office, trust me. Defamation of past national heroes. Most of you wouldn't have heard squat about George Washington being a Christian, riding on his horse 25 miles to go to church in the morning and coming back home, and he'd get back on the horse and he'd do it later in the afternoon and drive 25 miles to church. But you've heard about he's got wooden teeth and he chopped down a cherry tree. But you haven't heard about the great spiritual heritage of our national leaders. I've never seen anything like it. I'm going to make it really, I'm already on a roll. I may as well keep going. I've never seen anything like it where you can run a campaign, an election, and bash the president, call him everything in the book, treat him like a dirty dog, and that's somehow how you're going to get elected. That's pathetic. And if you go around bashing President Bush, you know what? I'd just soon not hang out with you. I'm telling you. That's crazy. This is America. You can say that stuff, but when we defame our leaders, that's not right. That is a decline of our civilization. We can have disagreement, but not to just continually bash and call somebody a liar and they blew up the buildings in 9/11 and all that stuff. Gosh, the nonsense has got to quit. Are you listening today? I know I'm ugly today. Shh. Despisers of those that are good. When we start defaming our national leaders, especially past national leaders on which our country was founded, when we start trying to dig up the dirt instead of pointing out the good, we got problems. Keep looking. In a 2005 survey, folks were polled on this statement around the world. Here it is. I would rather be a citizen of my country than any other country in the world. Americans said, 75% yes. Look at these nations. France, 34. Germany, 21. Spain, 21. Now here's what I wonder. That was in 2005. I wonder what the effect has been the last two or three years with the negative, 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 negative about our nation, about our government, how we're supposed to be despised around the world now. I wonder if that would still be 75% today in America. My gut tells me it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be. What does that mean? It's just a sign that perhaps our civilization is in decline. Keep looking. The state of the family is what we're talking about. Number five, acceptance of alternative marriage forms. Has anybody heard that in the news recently? Yes or no? According to this sociologist who wrote it in 1947, was it an issue in 1947 in America? No. He's just talking about past civilizations. I just happen to see it now. Acceptance of alternative marriage forms. Romans chapter 1, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, unnatural. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another now, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. When this happens, when the acceptance of alternative marriage forms become a norm, our civilization's in decline. Now, a group for alternative marriage wrote on the day after the election this year, November 5th, 2008, this is a group who is big time sponsoring alternative marriage. Here's what they said. I'll just quote it to you. Look at it. This was an exciting election, and we look forward to the promise of change. We are beyond disappointment that voters in Arizona, Arkansas, California, and Florida, thank God, chose discrimination over fairness and respect for all relationships. That's a real ugly way to put it. In Florida, we voted on Amendment 2 that marriage is between a man and a woman. And that's what marriage is. Okay? That's a good thing. That's the Bible. All right? Listen. And here's what they said. Please join the protest. Wear a boycott marriage t-shirt. When your civilization, my civilization, when it becomes boycott marriage t-shirts, when it becomes that marriage is not between a man and a woman, but all alternative forms are legalized, and that's what marriage is now, hey, you can do what you want to do, but your civilization's in decline, and you're not going to change that. That's the stats. That's the data. Keep looking. The state of the family. Number six, widespread attitudes. Don't run out of the building now. Of feminism, narcissism, and hedonism. I didn't write this stuff. The sociologist did. I'm just quoting him on this stuff. My problem is when I open my mouth. What is feminism? What is feminism? I'm married to a professional woman. She manages a local radio station, has for 15 years. She's one of the few female general managers of radio station in America. There's just not a bunch of them. It's a man's world out there. Women aren't doing it. So I love being married to a professional woman, okay? That's not what feminism is. Feminism is a belief of the political, social, and economic equality of women. An intellectual, here's the word, commitment and political what? Movement that seeks justice for women and the end of sexism. Now, I know I'm going to get ugly again. Here we go. If feminism was about women being in office, I believe Sarah Palin might be elected right now. But the fact of the matter is, whether you liked her or you didn't, the bottom line is this. Everybody applauded at first, but when we find out she is pro-life and not pro-choice, she's not one of us anymore. That's what a lot of women said. How in the world can you be call yourself a feminist when you are not for killing children? Because she didn't line up with the political movement or political agenda. I know that's ugly, but all you got to do is turn on your channel. You can see that. That's not, that's just the word. That's what's happening. Narcissism. What's narcissism? I had to look this stuff up. A love of oneself, concerned with self-admiration, self-centeredness, and self-regard. Does that sound like anything you've heard recently? Amen? For men, according to last days, shall be lovers of their own what? Selves. That's what the Bible says. He says this is when a nation, a civilization's in decline. Hedonism. What is that? Pleasure is of ultimate importance. Pleasure is the only thing good for a person. Doesn't matter if it's immoral, if it makes me feel good, if I can watch it, if I can do it, if I can drink it, if I can smoke it. Good. Hey, have at it. It's the decline of your civilization, though. This is what happened to all great nations. Lovers of pleasure, last day's verse. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of who? God. No, God says, I can't do that. And so don't do that. God says, that will hurt you, not help you. Don't go there. See, that's what God's word says. That's why a lot of people don't like it. I can't do what I want. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It's all in the church today. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Much of what I said today, and you can argue with me if you want to, it wouldn't be said in most churches in America. Why? Is that because I'm some crazy guy? Yeah, probably. But it's because they tell you if you want to build a successful church today, I really can't get involved in your personal life and mess with your personal mess, especially don't have a bunch of politics, your church will split. But just heap to you itching ears. Tell you things that tickle your ears. Tell you how you can just be happy. While our nation goes to hell in a handbasket. I would choose to rather, if this is the last day I lived on the planet, to say something that might rattle your cage. That might shake you a little bit, you know? Praise the Lord. Anyway, not that everything I say is right. I'm trying to shoot straight. Number 7, anti-family sentiment. When that happens in our civilization, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. What do we mean by anti-family sentiment? Family is the fundamental building block of all civilizations. Family is the fundamental building block of all civilizations. When the family, pop it up, Raj, when the traditional family, one man, one woman, having children, I can't even believe I have to get up and explain what a family is anymore. It's a mom, it's a dad having babies and raising them. And taking care of them and loving them. And then they go on and grow up, and those get up married and they have babies. That's a traditional family unit. When the traditional family is under attack in a civilization, your civilization is in what? Do you think the traditional family is under attack today? Yes or no? Assaulted from all angles. Keep looking. Number 8, acceptance of most forms of adultery. This is what the sociologists showed was historical data. From other nations, civilizations. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves. When adultery is accepted. Okay? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Say that word with me in yellow. Covetous. Why do we say that? Isn't that the 10th commandment? Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's what? Wife. When that becomes, when adultery becomes part of the norm of society, civilization's in decline. What is adultery? It's the voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and another person who is not his or her spouse. Got it? Say. Number 7, thou shalt not commit what? It's a putter, upside down, looks like a 7. Don't, say it with me, putter around. Got it? Say. What part of that don't we understand? Studies in the U.S. have found that about 15% of women and 20 to 25% of men have engaged in adultery. And that's a couple of years old. You think we improved in here? I think it probably got a little worse. When this happens, civilization's in decline. Keep going, Raj. I know y'all are all waiting. Now, there's 10 of them. Here we go. Rebellious children and juvenile delinquency, written in 1947, looking back at history. The legal definition of juvenile delinquency is a person between the age of 7 and 16 who commits acts which would be a crime if that person were an adult. Is juvenile delinquency a problem in our nation, yes or no? Of course it is. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, backbiters, etc., last days stuff talking, disobedient to parents. 2 Timothy, a last days passage, disobedient to who? Parents. That is a sign of last days. It's also a sign of a civilization in decline. When checking on juvenile delinquency, here's the funny thing. I looked on the websites, and I'm looking, JD, juvenile delinquency, and here's what I find. A common statement of fact kept showing up. What is the cure? What's going to help juvenile delinquency? Guess what it is? Pop it up. The most logical starting place for preventing juvenile delinquency is the family. But that's bad. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like this. It's like you say one thing out of this side of the mouth, but you've denied the truth, and the truth is the thing that's going to set you free and get you back on course. A mess. They say this. This is what all the websites say. Build strong family relations. These aren't Christian websites. These are people out there working with these kids. They need strong family relationships. So needless to say, when all these things are happening, it's pretty hard to turn the ship around, isn't it? That's pretty rough. Signs of juvenile delinquency. Here they are. See if this might exist. Anybody you know? Stubborn, disobedient, conflict with authority, lying, and fighting. Sounds like every day at the schoolhouse. You know what I'm saying? When this happens, civilization's in decline. Keep looking. The state of the family. Number 10, common acceptance of all forms of sexual perversion. Do you think in 1947 when he wrote this, do you think that joker would be rolling over in his grave? Say, when he wrote this stuff, he ain't even heard of no internet. He didn't know anything about this. Crazy. But this is what civilizations do. Verse 28, Romans. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That word reprobate mind simply means to lose your mind. It means what's wrong is now right, and what's right is wrong. It's subverted. It's turned upside down. Look. Oh, that's good. No, that's bad. This is good. That's bad. Reprobate mind. When this happens, when these 10 things happen, a civilization is in decline. I got to make a fast finish. We're late today, but it was the Zambians' fault. Here we go. These things were written 60 years ago. 60 years ago. Does it sound like today? Just answer the question, yes or no. No's? Don't hear too many no's. You can vote. It's America. But the point is, you can't say anything but yes, can you? And we can get all depressed. And I know you're going to leave today. We had the Zambians, and I got up here and just shot the whole thing. You'd be surprised how bright your light could shine right now. Your light for Jesus. How you're going to stand out with a message of hope that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. This is a time for us to shine. It's a good opportunity for us. But I want to say something to you. I'm going to finish right here, real quick. Today in our country, God's no longer viewed as our creator. Is he? Yes or no? No, he's not. He's not. Is God taught in our public schools that he's creator? Yes or no? No. Prayer has been removed from our schools. Yes or no? It's simple. suits have been filed to remove under God from our pledge. That thing ain't even safe anymore. Keep looking. Displays of the Ten Commandments in public places have been what? Outlawed. Christian literature has been removed from libraries. Christian songs have been banned from school programs. And everybody says, well, that's good because separation of church and state. Well, I guess our country before 1960 were just a bunch of idiots because they sang them and they seemed to get along fine. Winter break and spring break, we never had that. I don't know what it was. We know what we called it, Christmas break. We're getting out for a week, when? Easter. They weren't rioting in the streets. It was fine. What's happening? Say it with me. God's being what? Pushed out. And I'm not necessarily up here fussing today. I'm just trying to look at history in the past. Look at where we are and where are we headed as a civilization. State of the family. What should I do? And we got to do it quick, Raj. I'm going to just give the points and we won't be able to read the scriptures too much. Number one, turn away. What should you do based on this horrible message this morning? What should you do? Number one, turn away from a form of godliness and get the real thing. This is no time to play church games. This is no time to, well, I don't know about all that Bible, if I believe that or not. You ought to believe it. You ought to be solid in your faith. My goodness, why can't you say, this is the Word of God. That's what I believe. God had a son. I'm putting my faith and trust in Him. That's the way I'm going. That's the way my family's going. Do that. I mean, seriously. Turn away from a godless, turn away from a form. Last day's verse, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Don't do that. This is a time, man, in our world. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but if this is towards the end game, guess what? We need to not just have a form of godliness, we need to have a real thing. A real relationship with the Lord. Number two, what should you do? You need to know something. You need to know that you're going to suffer persecution. You need to know that you're going to be ridiculed for standing for Jesus. If that bothers you, you're going to have a problem. Okay? People might not just be quite as willing. Matter of fact, I know this message today, I probably made some of you mad. Guess why? Because you're going to ridicule what I'm saying. Well, fine, you just live your life like you want to. I'm going to try my best to live it by the book. I don't do it all the time, but that's what I'm going to try to do. If you have that message and you try to have your family out there doing that, you are going to be ridiculed for that. You listening? Say, it's going to happen. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus last days first shall suffer what? Persecution. It's going to happen. It'd be better if you knew that. Be ready. Put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Last thing, what should you do? Let God's Word be your absolute guide. Amen? Let that Bible be your absolute guide. This is my advice to you today. And from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. Look at the next verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Make sure God's Word is your absolute source. Anyway, last verse. This is my last one. It's the truth. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. The state of the family. I think the sociologist knew what he was talking about. From what I see, we got some rough days ahead. You listening? Yes or no? But what's interesting is it parallels, much of it parallels 2 Timothy chapter 3. So the good news is we could be in the end game. I don't know. But I just think all of us ought to live as if this could be our last day. Love our families, love each other, do the right thing, ask for forgiveness. If God gives you a tomorrow, get up, love your family, confess your sins, do the right thing, share Christ with somebody. Live like that. I think we'll be a better church for it and a better country for it. You listening? Thank you for listening.